Amen. We are honestly thrilled that you guys are here today on this rainy day and had a great crowd in first service. The song that Tanner just sang, we're going to meet in staff meeting this week, and I'm going to bring up a motion. And I get, you know, because I'm the boss, so I get to make motion. But anyway, I really think that we're going to make that song as sort of a theme song for what's ready to unveil in 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today. I've been doing all the research, been doing all the studying, all the stuff, and going through, and we're going to be launching. This is what God gave us last fall, but we're going to be launching. It's going to be probably a year and a half, 2 year journey, but we are so excited. In 3 weeks from today, we're going to launch a new sermon series, and it is the Master Plan of Discipleship, and we're going to go verse by verse through the book of Acts. We're going to tell you about what y'all just sang about when the church was born and the Spirit of God when he birthed the church. And we're going to talk to you about for the next 2 years about what the Holy Spirit does in the local church and in your life as well. I'm telling you, I am so pumped. It is going to be an awesome study. I've never preached through the book of Acts, and we're going to preach to you guys just verse by verse, old-fashioned Bible, and we're going to do that. And speaking of the book of Acts and God revival, I don't know where you all are at, and we got a group that meets on Wednesday night studying about prophecy, but I'm not a big predictor of those things, but I do really believe, in my hardest of hearts, just my opinion, for whatever it's worth, that we are in those last days. And I know that most of the church, they're telling us how it's dying and dead and declining, but I want to tell you, God is moving here. You guys are seeing evidence of it. There will be pockets in the last days of revival. I want to be that church. I want to be a part of that church, and I want to be investing in that church. And by the way, not only what you just saw here this morning, baptisms last Sunday, but on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, for the first time that I know of, maybe it's happened before, but we had over 200 people here on a Wednesday night praying. God moved, anointed, prayed over couples, Spirit led. And listen to this. Taylor told me that we had almost 60, and this is the teenagers and their workers, over 60 teenagers and their workers in the youth room preaching, praying, and worshiping God. Somebody give God a round of applause. That's amazing what God is doing. Get your teenagers here on Wednesday night and your kids, and I'm just telling you, God is moving. All right, I gotta go. All right, so here we are. We're talking to you guys about the finale of our sermon series. Some of you are like, well, it's my first time here. Well, that's okay. And we're going to do a little recap and catch you guys up. We're talking to you guys in this sermon series about this invisible war, this battle within. And what we've identified, so let me catch you up if this is your first time here today. So what we have unpacked for you guys in Romans 7, we spent 3 weeks on just Romans 7. And so what we've learned is that you have an enemy. You have three different enemies in your life. The first enemy is what the Bible says is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world represents the culture. And the culture is those things that want to distract us and defeat us and take us away, our attention away from God. You say, Pastor Terry, you've not really have hit on how do we deal with the culture. Well, that is coming down the road. And you're going to hear a lot more about that next Sunday on Vision Sunday. And during the month of April, Andrew and I are going to do some tag team preaching, and we're going to share with you a series of sermons that is, and right now my brain has totally just left me, but anyway, it's going to talk to you about, the relationship code. And we're going to talk to you guys about the topics of the day. Yeah, we're going to go there, and we do not shy away from anything. We're going to talk about gender identity. We're going to talk about raising your kids. We're going to talk just about your relationships, and what does the Bible have to say about all the cultural issues that are happening, and we're going to look at some of those in that sermon series right after Easter. And then, Pastor Terry, well, what about the devil? Man, we believe unequivocally here at Connect Church that Satan is real. How many of you fought on the way to church this morning? You know the devil's real. All right, got it. You are yelling at your kids. You were yelling at your wife. We're going to be late again, and about half of you were. But anyway, but you got here, so that's a win. But the devil is real, and so here's what we do every Sunday, and we make no apologies for this. You got to know this. If this isn't your kind of church, we get it. It's probably, you know, God bless you. But the truth of the matter is the devil's real, and every Sunday, we're going to do our dead level best to work our backsides off that this hour is going to give you victory over the devil, because we believe you guys are on the front lines. You're facing the devil every day, and that's why we try to make this the best hour of your week, because you guys are facing the devil every day. So every Sunday, we're dealing with him. All right, and anyway, we're going to call him out, and we're going to help you with that. But do you know who your biggest enemy is? Your biggest enemy is not the devil. And I know that we've talked about it in churches the way I grew up, that we always just blasted the culture and the culture's bad, blah, 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 blah. But your biggest enemy is not the culture. We missed it. Your biggest enemy is you. Your biggest enemy is you. It's you and the way you think, and you don't listen to God. Matter of fact, this is what we sort of come to understand out of Romans 7. Most of your unhappiness in life is because you listen to you instead of God. Where's your amens at on that? The truth of the matter is that we, but here's the good news. Now, we've hit this really hard, and I've been, you know, just wearing you guys out with this, but I've got, let me help you out. So we've spent 3 weeks on this. In Romans 7, the Apostle Paul, you're not alone in this. The greatest preacher that ever lived on the face of the earth besides Jesus Christ writes an entire chapter of the Bible, and he just identifies how miserable he is. And he gets to the end of the chapter, and we finally got there after 3 weeks, and he just says, and he uses the word wretched, but he just basically put it in Mississippi terms. He goes, I'm miserable. My life sucks. Everything about my life is just, it doesn't make sense. I've tried all the religion. He literally followed the law better than anybody. He said, I've done everything that the law has to say. I know the law better than any other preacher and any other person, and I still am miserable on inside because religion just doesn't work. But then we shifted gears last Sunday. And what I believe, and if you know if you are right, you agree with me that the greatest chapter in the Bible is Romans 8. And what happens, Mark, between Romans 7 and Romans 8 is redemption. Paul gets saved, and he says, because of what Jesus Christ has done, and he's given me, already Baptist people, he's given me the Holy Spirit. Oh, dude, you're talking about the Trinity? I am. And it's the piece that we leave out. And so we are now, turn your Bibles to Romans 8, 7, 8, verse, anyway, you see it on the screen. Turn your Bibles to Romans 8, and we're talking to you guys about how to set free from me, part 2. All right, and so we're going to hit in it. So what we shared with you guys, sermon recap real quickly, is there's 7 principles. Now, to all of our new people, you got to understand, you're probably going to hear some nice, ungodly things here in a second. So the people sitting around you that go to church here, we've got 7 principles to cover. We did 2 of them last week, and we're going to do 5 of them this week. Go ahead and have your little attitude. You ain't no way you're getting through 5, so shut up. All right, here we are. So we're going to get through 5 principles this morning. Trust me, we did in first service anyway, and if y'all behave, we'll do that. So here we are. Here's the first 2 that we covered in the first week about how to be set free from me, Romans chapter 8. Number 1, this is sermon recap, so I'm just going to be real brief on these, but this is going to catch you up to speed. Remind myself daily of what Jesus did for me. Remind myself daily of what Jesus did for me. So in other words, what are the benefits of my salvation? I've got to remind myself every day that Jesus has saved me and that he's the game changer. Look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. This is the difference between 7 and 8. Here's what happens. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you've went to church at all in your life, and if you've had any decent preacher, any decent church, they have told you about justification, a church term, a theological term. And if you've explained that to you at all, you understand justification means that God, through his son Jesus, has made me right. I am justified. I'm no longer under his justice. And so I get a chance to go to heaven because Jesus has paid the debt. And that's great and that's wonderful. And we're going to talk to you about that every week. But what we don't tell you is the flip side of justification. And that's where this sermon series comes into play. So what's the flip side of justification? That means, in simple terms, God is no longer angry with me. God, because of what his son did, not only are you in right fellowship with God, but he's no longer ticked off with you. God is no longer mad at you. And let's be honest, look at me. Every one of you that's ever been in church and the way you were sort of raised and everything else is you're thinking, you know what? I got saved. Well, that's good. I got my thing to heaven. But you know what? If I do something wrong, God's fixing to zap me. He's going to try to get me, and he's going to get me. Listen to me. Stop listening to that lie. God is no longer mad at you. The debt has been paid. The flip side of justification is there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Y'all only ought to be yelling amen. I'm just telling you, that is a game changer. God is no longer mad at me. So what does that look like? Let's put it into terms, and this is the key to the whole sermon series. That's why this verse is why I spent so much time last week, because this is the theological foundation. And we really unpacked Romans 8 for you guys last week about how to be set free from me. And here's what it is. We got it on the screen. We have been set free from God's condemnation. The key to this whole sermon series. And dwelt by God's own spirit, according to Romans 8. Adopted into his family. And we are destined for resurrection and glory, full of hope, because God loves us. Now, here's what I've learned as a pastor over the years. And I love y'all. And thank you guys for putting up with me for 20-some-odd years here. But here's the truth. Y'all frustrate the living daylights out of me. Sometimes I feel like a mama. I don't know how I need to say that. It didn't even come out right. Anyway, sometimes I feel like I am a mom with kids. Right? It's never mind. Anyway, sometimes I feel like I'm a parent. I hope that doesn't replay. You know how you all with your kids? How many? This is where I'm trying to go with this. Don't worry. I'm not having a seizure. Is when you were kids were coming up, did you not ever yell at your kids, "You're not listening to me. I told you." This is why I'm going with the mama thing, because you know the women sort of yell. I told you 27 times to pick up your drawers and put them. How many times have you yelled at your kids, "I told you, you don't listen to me"? I feel like that as a pastor with you all. I told you this, but y'all are not getting it. So I want you all to remember that there's no condemnation into you and not forget this, all right? I'm tired of yelling at you because y'all act like, "I don't know, Jesus is mad at me." No, he's not. So on the count of three, we're going to say this together. So maybe y'all listen to what I'm saying to y'all. Ready? On the count of three, let's say this together. 1, 2, 3. We have been set free from God's condemnation and dwelt by God's own spirit, adopted into his family. We are destined for resurrection and glory, full of hope because God loves us. Isn't that awesome? Principle number two that it follows naturally in the text is we ask the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. And so we unpack that. What happened last Sunday night was amazing. We came into staff meeting, and Taylor and Andrew and all the groups shared that their connect groups were amazing. Some shared that they were weeping over this truth. And we were all just talking about how simple this is, and yet how we've never done this. I love how last Sunday night in Connect Groups, y'all just admitted, as simple as this is, y'all don't do this. We don't ask the Holy Spirit to give us better thoughts. How crazy that we have God's Spirit inside of us, and yet we just go with our own feelings, we go every day with our own thoughts, and we don't ask the Holy Spirit, help me think differently. Help me to look at my life differently. And y'all just go with the negativity. Isn't that crazy? Listen to me. That is one prayer that I promise you that God will answer if you ask the Holy Spirit to give you better thoughts. Isn't that crazy? If you've never done that, ask the Holy Spirit to give you better thoughts. I was listening to a podcast this week. If you want to go deeper into this, there's a Christian lady. She does all these women's conferences, so we expect y'all ladies to get better, by the name of Jenny Allen. And so you can Google Jenny Allen. She wrote a book called, you have to go back to the sermon and listen to this because I'm going to go through this fast, but she wrote a book called Untangle Your Emotions. And I was listening to the Ed Stetzer Church Leadership Podcast. You're not going to probably remember that. But anyway, it's more for preachers. But he interviewed Jenny, and she really took a deep dive. She wrote this book. And so if you want to know how to let the Holy Spirit change your thoughts from the negativity to what you have in Christ, and here's the title of her book, Untangle Your Emotions, This is so good. Naming what you feel and knowing what to do about it. That is so good. Naming what you feel. In other words, this is what I'm feeling, but what's not right, and then what does God want to do about it? And so here's what the scripture says he can do about it. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, every day of your life, and here's what that verse means. Every day of your life is that you have two choices. You can do what you think is right, and you can do what you want to do, or you can ask God, what does he think you should do? It's just that easy. Are you praying and saying, God, give me your thoughts? Well, no, this is what I want to do. This is how I feel about it. So you've got two ways of thinking. Now, what I have, let me illustrate this to you. Now, what I have before you this morning, all right? Did we get a new box, James, today? So I don't know if you got to go. Okay, so all right. Never mind. That's me and James. Shut up. No, you didn't hear any of that. All right. So anyway, so these are donuts from last week that James brought me. But anyway, inside of here is heaven on earth. Krispy Kreme, just, I'm talking, it is so good. Anyway, and so, they're really sticky. All right, so I really want to finish these donuts, and I went to the doctor this week. Anyway, and Belen showed up at the doctor, and so there was just issues, and so anyway, and so, those are so good. I've never finished this message. So when you put donuts in front of me, that's the only thing I'm going to think about, and we're never going to get through that. All right, so we got to do, all right, do something. Lynn, I need you to stand up. So, all right. And so y'all give a round of applause for Lynn. So, hey, Lynn, so just say, all right. So we know each other. Hey, dude. Hey, Lynn. I'm Terry. Anyway, and so I'm a donut struggler. What do they do in the AA thing? I'm a donut eater. All right, anyway, So Lynn, I saw where this week you do the corn thing. What is it called? Cornhole. Yeah, you throw the beanbag. All right. Anyway, and so you threw the beanbag this weekend. You and your son, for the first time, finished second place. And it was, how many people were in? There was more than three, I assume. 8 teams, and you and how cool a moment was it that him and his son finished second in a tournament? That has to be a cool moment. Does Lane go? I mean, yeah, that's absolutely, that's good. Man, I can't hit. So does Lane go with you to the tournament? Okay, all right, so we're done. All right, go ahead. All right, so what happened here is, you see, I chose to have a conversation to get my mind off the donuts and talk to old Lynn here about his corn thingy. And so anyway, and what he does, and notice what that did is that took my mind off of where it was at before. You have every day the privilege, and by the way, we're going to put the word of God on these, all right, so I don't get distracted. And so the truth of the matter is, you and I have a choice, is my point today. You and I have a choice to make, that we're not going to focus on what is in front of us. We're going to focus on what God wants to bring into our life and to change our way of thinking. Here's what Dr. Danny Akin says about Romans 8 and what the Spirit can do in your life and mine. God not only provides in Christ the full completion of the law's demands for the believer, but he sends the Spirit as the outflow of Christ's work on our behalf. Now here's the key. The Spirit enters our hearts to empower a new obedience to his demands. So what happens in Romans 8 is we now have a new perspective. In other words, I don't have to focus on my donut-eating self that's going to get me in trouble. What I now have is I don't have to do willpower to try to get rid of the donut. You see, what I now have is the Holy Spirit inside of me. The Holy Spirit is going to fight the battles for me. Here's the bottom line to all of this when you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to change the way you think. You learn that it's not up to you to fight the battles. Somebody should write a song about this. The Lord is going to fight my battles for me, and I fight my battles on my knees. We learn to let the Lord fight our battles, and we fight our battles on our knees, and ultimately, that's how you get set free from me. All right, turn, if you will, and I know you guys have been sitting in all this, but would you stand with me? This is such a holy text. Romans chapter 8. And let's read. Now we're into the new stuff. So all those of you that have been out, you're caught up. And here's what we're taught. Here's where we land today. The finale of our sermon series, Romans 8:7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, all right, hang on a second. I forgot to mention this. 21 times in the chapter 8 of Romans, the Greek word pneumea is going to be used and translated means spirit. 21 times. You listen to me, Baptist people. Paul is going to identify the way you overcome you is allowing the Holy Spirit into your life. Folks, we don't do that well. You ready to get this? Y'all ready? This is so good. So he says, the Spirit dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, all right, and I want you all to start saying this out loud when we read this, all right? Y'all getting this idea down? He's talking about, we don't know how to do this. We don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. I went for years in church and never heard about the Holy Spirit. 21 times in this chapter, all right, when we come to that word, I want you all to shout it out. Spirit, y'all ready? On the count of three. So let's just start over in verse 9. You ready? Let's go back to verse 9. You, however, not in the flesh, but in the
Spirit.
In fact, if God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the of Christ is not, man, y'all Baptists going, whoa, that's the most Holy Spirit I've ever gotten. Some of y'all are starting to get a tingle and you don't even know what it is. All right, but Christ is in you, and although the body is dead because of sin, the
Spirit,
almost messed up, is life because of righteousness. If the
Spirit,
if him who's raised, now y'all getting on here, I like it, and raised with Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who have raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you will die. But if you live by the
Spirit,
you put to deeds the of the body, you will live. For if you are led by the
Spirit,
you are the sons of God. You did not receive the
Spirit
of slavery to fall back into fear. We're going to hit that really hard. But you have received the
Spirit.
This is my favorite part of the adoption of sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The
Spirit
himself, y'all hang on with me, we're almost done, bears witness of the
Spirit
that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Y'all did amazing. Man, y'all may be seated. Thank you, guys. That was awesome. So you realize, wow, the Holy Spirit really should be in church. And so, what's the novel idea? So this isn't something I'm inventing. Did y'all get it now? This is what he is saying, the key to the text. All right, we went into all the theological and the textual analysis last week. So today, I'm going to borrow some ideas from Pastor Rick Warren and myself, and we're going to put these together, and I want to give you the final five principles. I know that y'all thinking this can't be done, but with God, all things are possible. All right, so y'all hanging with me? You guys, it's a rainy day. You ain't got nowhere to go anyway. All right, ready? Just tell Holly we'll be done at 1. Number 3, principle number 3, I realize that I have a new ability to say no. All right, so now we're down to principle number 3. I have a new ability to say no to the self-destructive decisions that I keep making in my life. This is so important because when you became a believer, before you were a believer, you tried to do good things. You tried to live by a moral code. That's what all Romans 7 is us trying to be good Southern people, trying to be nice. And you did this by your willpower. And here's the thing, you lost every time. Because you can't change bad habits on sheer willpower alone. The truth of the matter is, if we're honest, is that we've never really tapped into the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's what gives you the ability to say no. Every one of us struggle with compulsions. You struggle with bad habits. You struggle with lust. You struggle with just immediate impulses that pop up in your head, and we call them our old nature. And there's just some things that we struggle with that you can never say no to, because willpower is not good enough to beat you. You listening to yourself will always cause you to do the wrong thing. It's just in your DNA. It's a sin curse. Illustrate it to you this way. So there's a little Johnny. He's been told by his mama that, listen, there's some donuts on the counter, but you can't have them until after we eat supper. Fair enough? So you know what little Johnny does? He slides a little ladder over there. He goes right up. He looks at that counter, and he just sees those donuts, and all of a sudden, mama comes in the house. And you know what happens when mama comes in the room? And sure enough, oh, Johnny, he's sitting there, donut shoved halfway in. You know, he's got it, you know, halfway down. And she does what every mama, you know, does, is she yells. And she yells and she says, I told you, and by the way, ladies, it's not, you know, that you're wrong. It's just the tone that you use, Andrew. All right, anyway, and so she yells and she says, so stupid. And so she yells and she says, I told you, don't eat the donuts until after supper. And do you know what little Johnny's reply is? He just looks at her and he says, I don't know what happened, Mama. I just got up here to check out what they were, and he said, and my teeth fell on them. And he said, it was an accident. Now, I got to be honest, in true confessional, the little Johnny in the story is actually Terry. Okay, all right, so that was me as a kid. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that we willpower is not going to do it and not going to cut it. But here's the difference between willpower and what you now have and the ability to say no. Look at verse 9 of the text. You, however, are not in the flesh, but what? In the? Man, you guys are good. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. So here's what happens. You no longer have to deal with a temptation on your own. Now, here's the truth of the matter. I still got these John Brown donuts up here. And if I'm careful, man, I totally want to suck down both of these. I'm done preach twice. I ain't had breakfast. And so all I can think about. But by willpower, I'm fixing to eat these donuts and forget about this sermon. But now that I have the Spirit, you know what the Spirit says? The doctor told you, your wife told you, you got to come back. And so the Holy Spirit says, get them out of your head. So I'm just telling you this morning, the Holy Spirit helps you do away with your compulsions and what you feel and what you want to do. Now, here's why this is important. And I'm going to get a little testy on this because I just threw my donuts away. But I hear people say to me, and yes, primarily the younger generations really got this down well. So let me talk to my Gen Zs this morning, maybe even the millennials, and all the way through. But it's the older folks. We said it differently, but we did the same stupid thing. I hear people tell me and come up to me and say, but Pastor Terry, this is natural to me. This is what makes me feel good. And after all, it's just natural for me to feel this way about that issue. And I know people in the church and that stuff says it's wrong, but it's just natural. And people are struggling with their identity. They're struggling with all kind of issues today going, but I feel this way. This is what's natural for me and what I feel is good for me. And so let me explain to you why that's so bad. Because here's what you have. It's not about what you think or what you feel. It's the Holy Spirit that wants to deliver you from you. Because here's the truth of the matter is that when you all tell me that, and we have conversations like that, and I've never said this to you, and this is why I suck as a counselor, but when you all tell me that stuff, inside of me, I want to throat punch you. I want to sock you right in the nose and just tell you that's stupid. But I don't. It's natural, and I'm thinking it. All right, I just want you to know, but I don't do it. And you know why I don't throat punch you when that happens? Because it's wrong. And so if it's wrong for me to punch you in the face when I feel like it, then it's wrong for you to do. I came out a little harsh than I thought I would. Let's not play that video. But the truth, y'all get where I'm going with this, is not about you just feeling natural. We say all the time, you know, listen, well, this is just natural for me. Let me just give you another confession today, and please don't email Mike or Deacon Chairman, but here's the thing. When I get out on the freeway, I get out on 45, and I'm driving on I-22, and we're getting on to 45, and those of you that have not figured out that when you come to merge on a 45, you do not stop. Because when you do, now just true confession, I don't do this, but I'm just telling you, when you do that, I want to cuss. And I'm going to be honest and true, and I know some of the new people are going, oh my God, I didn't say I did, but I want to. It's natural. When y'all do stupid things, y'all make me, and now, jeez, I'm going to get so fired. But not only do I want to, I thank them. But God put Belen in the car, and she's going to slap me. See, it's natural for me want to say ugly things about. Matter of fact, I want to go a step further. I want to put on Jason's uniform over here, state patrolman. So y'all just go ahead, all right? I want to carry the gun, and I want to have the badge. And when I get you on that thing where you stop, I'm pulling you over. All the sirens. I'm coming out with a shotgun. I'm doing everything. I'm going to lay you on the ground, and I'm going to give you the biggest ticket you've ever got in your life because that was stupid. That's my natural, that's what I feel in my heart. And that's what I would enjoy doing. But you see, that's wrong. And I don't have the authority to be Jason. That's why he's him and I'm me. Because you see, it's just wrong. So this whole argument about it's natural, you've been set free from the natural. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you overcome. Y'all getting this? Your natural tendencies. I'm just saying it ends the argument, and so we realize that we have the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to say no. And there's one other piece to this that's a big part of this is, you see, so many of y'all go, but yeah, Pastor Terry, you know, I got joined the church and I got marched up on stage and everybody clapped and all that, but you know, I didn't get all of the Jesus that you got. Stop it. This is such a lie from hell. The average person in the church pew is sitting there, or chairs, and they're just sitting there thinking, you know, I came to church, and you know, and you all have this lie that the devil tells you that when you get saved, you just get a little bit of God, and you get a little bit of Jesus, and if you're Baptist, you don't get no Holy Spirit, because we don't have that. And so you just get a little bit of salvation and justification. Listen to me, that what this verse is saying, what this verse is saying, and it's promising you, and so quit listening to the lie. Whenever Jesus went to the cross and paid for your sin, his royal blood now flows through your veins. You got all of the king's blood. You have been washed clean of your sins. You got all the Father, you got all the Son, and you got all the Spirit. So quit listening to the lie. You have the ability to say no to what is natural. Because the Spirit, now the question is, does he have all of you? I'm telling you, will you let him take control of your life? Number four, whew, hang on, that one hurt. All right. Number four, give me a second. I need to turn my thoughts to God. Y'all right while I try to get my breath. Stinking donuts, all right. I need to turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid. This is how God's Spirit sets me free from the attitude of fear. Look at verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God. This is my favorite part. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into what? Fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as by why we cry, Abba, Father. Now the Aramaic word here simply is, as you read in the English, is Abba. Now, it's not Abba. Y'all remember Abba, you know, 70s? What is one of their songs? Anyway, never mind. All right, and so it's not the singing group Abba, but this is translated Abba, and if you really translated it literally word for word, you could use one of two words. You could use the word father in English or papa. Now, I'm a grandfather, So I'm going with Papa. Yeah, that's just, it's so much better being a dad. All right, anyway, and so he says, I want you to understand you have this relationship, is that he's not just a God, but Terry, he's Papa. And I want y'all to get this. This is so cool. This is my favorite part of the sermon. You have to understand this morning, I need to turn in my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid, and you need to go to Papa. When our boys were growing up, we have three boys, and when they were growing up, they were raised here, and for the most part, except for Aaron, so they were growing up, and my kids, my three boys, did a lot of stupid things. They rode on, they got a mattress found in the woods over there, and so they drug up a woods by Mr. Chester, and on a four-wheeler, we look at it, I don't know if it was mats or what, but anyway, this nasty mattress, and they're riding around, and they're all just sitting there, and Shelton, and they learned a lot of stupid things from them. Anyway, and so they're doing all these things that were dangerous, and they went into creeks and snakes and everything that we didn't even know about. They jumped off cliffs in the water, and they just did all. And we had this hill on Auburn Road the couple of times that it did snow and ice, and they would slide down in these sleds and into the pond. Well, the pond had sewer water. Our sewer went down into the pond, so man, they would go right into that sewer water, and after a couple of months, the skin got better. But anyway, and so they did all of these just stupid things when they were growing up, and they had no fear. But what was really funny was when they were little, and this is the coolest moment of being a dad that I always treasure, is right up here at the parsonage. All three boys were little, and whenever the lightning would hit and the thunder would hit, and, you know, every other day, those, you know, tornado in Tupelo. And so we were sitting up here on the hill, and those little boys would run right past. They needed mama for everything else. Mama did everything else in our family. God bless her. But when they were scared, they ran to daddy's recliner. And they would jump up, all three boys, into my lap. And it was the coolest moment, Tim. Is they would just gather and they would hang on my shirt, and without me ever saying, it's gonna be okay, Papa Daddy would just look at his boys, and I would kiss every one of them on the head and say, I love you. And at that moment, all three boys would go to sleep, and they didn't have a care in the world. They didn't know, matter what was going around them, they knew that Daddy was going to take care of them. I could tell you all the theological constructs this morning, that he is your Abba, your Father, but ladies and gentlemen, there is no more knowledge you need to do this. You need to go home today, and you need to start trusting your fears to your Father. You don't need to know anymore to do this. You need to turn your fears over to your Father. Here's what I want you to write down. Quit focusing on your fears and start focusing on your Father. And so let me illustrate to you in a humorous way. Let's say that, and this is for the older generation, back in the day, we had mobsters, and it was a big deal. It was all in the movies, and you all remember those days well. And so let's just pretend this morning that I'm a part of a mobster family and from Chicago or New York. And so I'm going to do my Italian voice here. And so I'm in New York and Chicago, and I'm sorry, Sam, but you know what happens when you go to New York and Chicago, for all those of you that love to travel and all that stuff. If you go to New York and Chicago, you're not having a good time. What you're doing is you're going to get robbed. All right, and so you go to New York and you go to Chicago, and so what happens in the city is you get robbed, and so this guy comes up to you on the street and he's fixing to rob you, and you look at him and you go, I don't think so. I'm Italian. My family is connected to the mob, and my name is Guido. I knew I wasn't going to get it out. And so my daddy is Bruno Guido, and my family, if you try to rob me, I'm gonna call my daddy Bruno Guido, and he gonna take your arm off one at a. I don't know where that's. Anyway, never mind. Forget the accent. All right, he's gonna. You know, they're gonna come. You're loving this, aren't you? And you know, he's going to take you out. And their answer is when, if they're from New York or Chicago, they know that your family's connected. He's going to go, dude, man, I didn't know that you were Guido. I didn't know that you were part of that family. And because of your family, dude, don't, you know, hey, you keep all your stuff, and they're going to walk away from you. And I said all that to say this. The devil's going to come after you with all hell this week. And you're going to have fears, and the enemy's going to try to bring your fears up, and he's going to put them right in your face, and he's going to put all the temptation, and he's going to do his dead level best to rob every one of you of your joy, your peace, and your power of God in your life. He's going to do it, and he's been doing it in some of your life. Now, here's what I need you to do today, according to Romans chapter 8, is what you do is you look at him, and you say to the enemy, and you say to your fears, I'm sorry, but you have no welcome here, because I want to tell you, I'm a part of God's family. You need to know who my father is. My father's got my back. My father's not going to let anything bad happen to me. And if you come after me, my father's going to take you out. Amen. You need to let the devil know that you're part of God's family. So we overcome because we got to learn to turn our thoughts to God whenever we're afraid. Number five, focus on the long term and not the short term. Principle five, focus on the long term and not the short term. As Christian, this one's the ones that we can handle hands down. It should be easy, but we don't do this. Is, you know how we live our lives? Well, you know, this is what I'm going to do this week, short term. Well, this is what, and y'all are killing yourselves. Can I just, if I'm not being right, y'all are killing yourselves to get ahead in this life. Do you know the difference between short term and long term? And listen, God wants to bless you. I'm not saying he wants to give you good things in this life, but don't freak out if you don't win in this life, because you realize you're not to be thinking about just for 70 years, 80 years at best. You're looking at some of y'all like, whoa, I'm already past the line. Anyway, but you know, just whatever your time frame is on that. But you realize that you're not just thinking about 100 years or 200 years. You see, you're going to live, if you're a believer here today, for trillions and trillions and gazillions or whatever else comes next, you realize you got to think long term. We keep focusing on the winning here and now, and I want to tell you, it messes with you. When you think in long term, you're able to handle the short term pain a whole lot better. Y'all got to quit freaking out that you failed this week. You got to quit freaking out that you lost your job or whatever happened to you this week, because I got news for you. In eternity, you're going to be wealthy more than you ever dreamed. You're going to have everything that you... Quit focusing on the short term. Look what the text says. If children, then heirs, and heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order what? That we may be glorified with him. There was this famous study done years ago by Harvard University. This is before they got all crazy. And what their study was is the most successful people in life are those who think in the long term. Shorter term thinking people, all they focus in on is what's in front of them. And what happens is when the failures happen in their life, they lose perspective and they get defeated. But long term thinkers understand, okay, I lost today. I didn't get this right today. I ate too many donuts today, but it's okay. It's okay, because I'm going to live for a zillion years. God is with me. You got to get past your short-term pain, because you know that Christ, in thinking about him, is going to live for you for eternity. And by the way, real quickly, is on this whole perspective, so just let me just throw this out there and take it home with you. You need to start investing in eternity. Because when you stand before God one day, he's not going to ask you how pretty you were. Some of y'all would lose out. He's not going to ask you how smart you were and what school you graduated from. You know what he's going to ask you? What did you do with the time, your talents, and the money that I gave you? Did you invest it in my kingdom? There will be rewards in heaven. It's not all going to be the same. And you will be rewarded based on what you did with your time, your talents, and your money. Think and invest in the long term. Much more about that next week when we share with you Vision Sunday. Number six, remind myself that God is in control. This is how God sets us free from the self-destructive weapon of bitterness. is that I remind myself that God is good and he is in control. Remind yourself that God is good and he is in control every single day of your life. Look at verse 21. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of glory. In other words, I want you to underline the bondage of corruption. Now, you need to know something this morning. The results of living in a broken world is that we're going to have pain in this life. And because we have pain, if we're not careful, the devil's going to use that to bring bitterness. Some of you are so bitter this morning because your life is not turned out. And you all say to me all the time something like this, Pastor Terry, I go to church at Connect. We did this and we were part of the class and we did that and whatever. And man, my life just sucks. Pastor Terry, life is not fair. Now listen to me, look at me, okay? Let me do my counseling. I'll try to be nice here. Yeah, duh. All right, so the truth of the matter is that life is, there's nowhere in the Bible that he ever said that your life would be fair and it would all work out. It's not there. Because why? The verse says we live in a sin-cursed world. The devil owns this world. The devil causes all the pain and heartache in your life. You need Jesus just to get over all of the stuff that is messed up in this world. This life is not fair and has nothing to do with God. It is the enemy. Write this down. Pain in your life is not optional. You will have pain in this life, but misery is. You don't have to be miserable. You can choose by the Spirit of God to overcome the pain. And this is my favorite verse out of this. Likewise in the Spirit, who helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but what? The Spirit himself, oh, this is so good. You guys all have got to take this home with you. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep. In other words, when I've got to remember that God is in control, not to become bitter, because the Spirit is going to pray and help me get through this. Write this down. The Spirit is praying for me. He's using everything for good in my life, and he wants me to succeed, and he's going to give me what I need and not what I want. Oh, isn't that good? All right, while these folks are writing it down, on the count of three, again, this is what I want you to remember. This is the takeaway from today's message, and so I want us to say this together. On the count of three, let's say this out loud together so maybe y'all remember it. This is how we understand it, remind ourselves that God is in control. On the count of three, let's say it together. One, two, three. The Spirit is praying for me. He's using everything for good in my life. He wants me to succeed, and he's going to give me what I need and not what I want. Isn't that so good? Principle number seven. I told you we're going to make it. Wow, it's a miracle. Number seven is trust that God will never stop loving me. Trust that God will never stop loving me. I'm in the family. He will never stop loving me. The fact is that when you feel insecure and everything is messed up in your life, all those, anybody in here ever been rejected? Some of you have been rejected by your parents. Some of you have been rejected by your siblings. You were told that you were never good enough. Some of us, how many of us were never chosen when it came? You know, remember those days in school? Let's put the two teams together. We got two captains. Dang it, if you were not the last kid. Man, nobody wants you. And so, man, you always felt like that. Amen, Angela. Anyway, and so you always felt like that in the special sports. And so not music, but it's just sports. And so you just, we've all been rejected. And it's a horrible feeling. Maybe you've been rejected by a boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe you've been rejected by a spouse. Nothing hurts more than rejection. Now look at me this morning. Oh, this is good. Look at me. God will never reject you. God will never reject you. God will never, ever reject you. Look at this glorious verse. Now all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present or things to come nor powers nor height nor death nor anything else in the creation what will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was studying this week, and on Thursdays is my day to just simply study who God is. And I was in Psalms chapter 37, and doing the research, the Hebrew word in Psalms 37 says, and paraphrasing, that the mountains in the creation will melt in the presence of the Lord. And the Hebrew word for Lord there is the word Adonai. And the translation for Adonai is simply this, is that he is ruler and he is my maker. In other words, Terry, there's nothing that can happen in your life that I cannot rule over, and that I have made you, and that you're a part of my family. I will always love you. I have you. And do you know what I prayed that day in my life? And I want you to write this down, because here's the key to being set free from me and winning the invisible war. I want you, is what I told God, I want you to have all of me so I can experience all of you. I want you to have all of me so I can experience all of you. He loves you. He loves you. And he will never, ever quit loving you. Set free from me, because I know who Jesus is. A few weeks ago, our son and daughter-in-law was running D-Now, or helping out with D-Now, and they were busy all weekend, and so we got stuck with the kids. And so we had the grandkids, and it was awesome. And so we were playing, and one morning, I don't remember exactly the context. It's probably we were, just don't tell my my son and daughter-in-law, but so we were taking them to go get donuts, of course. And so we were getting ready, and Owen, I've got a 2-year-old grandson, I got a 2-year-old grandson here and a 4-year-old granddaughter. And so Owen, the 2-year-old, wants to do everything his sister does, Nora. And so Nora, you know, I got to put on my, she had to wear a special dress. And anyway, so she had to get her shoes on, and she had to look like, you know, $1 million just to go to get donuts, and bless them, because their future's crazy. Anyway, and so the whole girl thing. And so Owen's like, you know, I can put my shoes on too. But he's a Pierce. And so he was not doing it right, and he was struggling. So he sits down on the floor, and Owen, he's down there, and you know, we're waiting, and you know, Nora's like already in the car and all this, and Owen's just, he's got his shoes, and he's got them on the wrong feet, but he wants to be like Nora. He's got to do it his way, though. And so I do what every papa would do. Owen, do you need help, buddy? No. I know, I like Nora. I do it myself. And he's in that whole 2-year-old thing, you know, I do it myself. And so he sticks the shoes on. And he doesn't get them on right, and they're on the wrong feet. And so he gets up, and he's like, you know, daggummit, you know, and he's a peer, so, you know, we're never wrong. So he's, you know, he just takes off, and he starts walking, and he falls, because the shoes are on the wrong feet, and they're not even on all the way. And it hurts, and he falls and gets hurt. You see, at that moment, what would you think of me if I looked at my grandson who had fallen and gotten hurt? Yes, what he did was stupid. Yes, what he did was wrong. And he had to do it himself. But what would you think of me if I looked in my own flesh and blood and said, well, that's your fault. You got to do it on yourself. I'm not helping you. Dude, you have no respect whatsoever. But you see, there's only 2 kids in this church. In this church, they can call me Papa. And one of those little boys, name is Owen. And he looked up at me and he said, Papa T. And I looked down at him, and I didn't yell at him, and I didn't tell him I told you so. You know what I did, Miss Barbara? I said, would you like for Papa to help you? And this time he said yes. And I reached down, Freddie, and I put the shoes on the right feet, and I kissed him. And I said, now let's stand up. Are you ready to go get donuts? And I'll never, as long as I live, forget that moment. As he looked up at me as only a grandkid could do. And those eyes and those Owen eyes. And it was like I had just hung the moon, because he realized, dude, no matter how much I mess up, no matter how I want to do things my own way, no matter how much I go the wrong way, this dude will never quit loving me. This dude will always be there to pick me up unconditionally, love me, and make everything right. And that's exactly what God wants to do for you today. Would you stand with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you today. There's nobody that loves us like Jesus. We're getting ready to sing a verse of invitation this morning, but I really want to read you a prayer, and I'm going to read this fast, and you won't be able to say it all, but I want you to just sort of in the Spirit pray this over your life this morning, because I really want to help you. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, but here's the prayer, and let me just give it to you. I want you to say this in your heart as I pray this over you. Dear Jesus, thank you, and I want you to say these words the best you can. Dear Jesus, thank you for all that you did for me. Thank you that there's no condemnation in my life, and that all the sin that I've ever done, you took the condemnation. You destroyed sin's control over me, and my righteousness that is nothing, but now I have your righteousness. And Father, when I feel ashamed, let me remember what you did for me on the cross. And now you've given me the Holy Spirit. So I can just ask you to give me better thoughts, and you will. I don't want to have the mind of self-destruction. Give me the mindset of life and peace. And help me to remember, Lord, that I have a new ability to say no, not just my willpower. And help me to remember that I'm your child. I'm your family, and that you're my father, my papa. And when I'm afraid, I'm going to focus on my father, papa. I'm going to focus on you. Help me to focus not on the short term, but on the long term. And when I want you, Father, to do your good in my life, and most of all, I thank you that you will never let go of me, that even when I fail, you will never, ever stop loving me as we sing.